sorry for the words, but put our balls on the table.
Remember, kids, this is not how you play hockey. It's just ugly.
I like it.
Screw you guys. I'm doing this.
You know what? I love ice cream, too.
Go back to Canada, Guy Lafleur.
Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Hello and welcome to the hockey show right here on Mile High Sports. Actually, I should try to keep my voice a little bit quiet for our boy Coach Bailey behind the glass. JJ Jerez here, Ryan Boulding of NHL.com, here to break down the week that was in the hockey world. Of course, Colorado's biggest and best live hockey radio show right here. We got a lot to talk about. Avalanche just floundering, have yet to find a win in 2023. We're going to be talking to Kyle Fredrickson of the Denver Gazette here in the second portion of the show just to go over some of that, get some of his theories, right? I think that's what's interesting about this current slide that the Avalanche are in. Obviously, the glaring issue is the injuries. There's underlying issues that nobody seems to be able to figure out why the Avalanche are struggling so much to find wins, struggling so much to score goals, and just not looking like the team that we know and love from last year, not looking like the team that we expected coming into the year. So it'll be fun to get into that with Kyle. Of course, first year on the beat as a full-time Avalanche reporter for Kyle Fredrickson. So it's going to be exciting to talk to him and get his thoughts and ideas before tonight's game. Of course, Avalanche play tonight, 5 o'clock against the Ottawa Senators. But Ryan, how are you?
Hey, I'm here too. I'm in.
A little long-winded having to intro the show. Bring us
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it was all good. I'm ready for conspiracy theories. If people want to text us or call us and give us their conspiracy theories about why the Avalanche are so bad, you can do it at
303-831-1340. Be our first caller.
First ever.
2 years in. We're still waiting for number one. Caller number one, is that you?
At least send us a text.
A lot of, you know, probably most of the people listening have our personal number anyway, just friends, family, and people that know and like us. So yeah, shoot us a text.
We just need to up our game. I was watching a movie that I cannot not watch when it's on TV recently, Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie. I'm mesmerized by that, the whole concept of how he became who he was.
I have more questions.
We probably need to do characters and stuff.
They're not hockey related. We should do characters. I would love that.
I don't know if I could hold any of my voices for long enough, though.
Well, let's get to matinee money. One matinee game today going on. I think it's about to start any minute now. Calgary in Dallas. Dallas, of course, the central leading team. That was a tough game for me to pick because Dallas just came off a loss 2-1 where they lost to the New York Rangers. The New York Rangers, I believe, are missing Chris Kreider. So not even the full strength New York Rangers, Dallas Stars, of course, like I said, leading the Central, but just coming off a loss. I want to pick Dallas, but Calgary has a little bit of oomph to them too, right? They've been winning some games. They beat St. Louis just this week, and after kind of a slow start for Calgary, it kind of feels like they're starting to inch their way back into relevancy, and right now I believe they're holding on to that first wild card spot. So it's a really good matchup, and because it's so good, it was really tough for me to pick a game on that one. But I'm going to have to, if I'm forced to, I'm going with the Dallas Stars. But that's not the pick I took. I had a little bit of fun with it because the app I was using presented me with a fun little parlay as I was sitting there. Who do I want? Calgary or Dallas? Calgary or Dallas is such a good game. Maybe I'll just take somebody on the over shots. Maybe Nazem Kadri has under 3.5 shots because he doesn't typically have too many on the road. But what I went with was the division leaders, all four division leaders playing a game today. Carolina, Dallas. Who are the other two? Well, I don't know, I have this in front of me.
Toronto, Boston.
Boston.
Vegas. Vegas.
All four of them playing today. All four of them to win was a plus 660. I kind of liked those odds, and I liked the teams that all those teams are playing, right? Vegas hosting Edmonton tonight. I believe, as we said, Dallas playing Calgary. Carolina is at home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And this is the tough one. And this one's going to be fun. This is can't miss hockey here. Boston hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's see if Austin Matthews is back in the lineup. Let's see if Toronto continues the pace that they've been at. And let's see if Boston recovers from losing at home to the Seattle Kraken. We'll get more into that game, of course, and what Seattle's doing later in the show. But
man, I really want to pick against you because I lose every time I pick with you. But I do feel like Carolina's going to beat Pittsburgh. Tristan Jarry's out. I Edmonton is such a question mark. We can get into some, you know, Connor McDavid stuff later, but Vegas is hot. They don't have Mark Stone, though. He's out for a while. You assume Boston's going to beat Toronto, but that's really a toss-up. Boston struggled lately. I don't know. I hate to bet against Dallas. I feel like, and we're not supposed to talk fantasy, but I have Kadri on one fantasy team and Robertson on that same fantasy team. And I feel like anytime that I don't play either of those two, when they go cold, they have like a hat trick or something. So it's one of those where you're like, you really don't want to bet against them.
I'm with that. That's how I felt about Kadri's under shots, right? Suddenly you're cheering for less action. You're cheering for less offense, and you never want to be that guy. So I backed away from that. But that's kind of the conversation I wanted to have, is looking at these division leaders, even though I forgot who they were for a second. Dallas, Vegas, Boston, and Carolina. Looking at those four right there, I think the only one we can probably agree we saw coming was Carolina, right? I mean, you and I were on Carolina since probably last year, yeah, even.
Yep, that's fair.
But I think it's really fun seeing how Vegas has taken over, I guess retaken over the Pacific, right? Dallas jumping ahead, and I think, you know, had a pretty soft year, pretty disappointing ending, if you were to ask some of them. And then Boston was a team that was supposed to slide out of the playoffs. Not everybody jumped on board with that, but everybody kind of assumed that Boston was going to slide out and Ottawa would slide into a playoff spot. Well, that's not going on. So your thoughts on the four division leaders right now, and I guess how surprised you are at three of those four.
Like you said, I think Carolina, not surprising. They've been knocking on the door for a while. Biggest question mark is probably health and goaltending, right? Freddie Anderson, hurt frequently. Antti Raanta, hurt somewhat frequently. You got Peter Kochetkov, comes in, plays really well, doesn't get a bunch of starts, maybe nursing some injury, they're giving him some rest, has been cold, you know, so that's the big question mark there. But I mean, they still, they're there, they're in win mode, you know, and have been consistently up at the top, so that's not surprising. Dallas, I think, is a little bit surprising. You like what Pete DeBoer's been doing there. No, you know, disrespect to Rick Bowness, who also has the Winnipeg Jets right up there battling for the
They're
top
actually
spot.
Tied in points. Dallas yep. has the tiebreaker.
Yep. So Dallas has looked pretty good. I mean, Jake Oettinger, obviously a huge part of that. Jason Robertson, a huge part of that. You're kind of phasing out the era of Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn down in Dallas. Boston is the one I don't think we saw coming. You know, you assumed it was going to be Toronto, but the way Boston started this year, it's no surprise that they're still where they are. And then, you know, that leaves Vegas, and Vegas is kind of the surprise. Like at the start of the season, we're like, oh, look at the goaltending. Lehner's hurt for the year. I don't expect the downward trajectory to end. And it's been really incredible what they've done, especially with Logan Thompson in it.
I think it's fun to look and compare and contrast Boston and Vegas right now, right? Because of course, Bruce Cassidy leaving Boston goes to Vegas and kind of turns Vegas into Boston of the West, and is just a shutdown, can't really penetrate their defensive structure, and it's helping their goalie system out a lot, right? And then Jim Montgomery taking over Bruce Cassidy's former lineup and thriving with it. I think he threw in his own little touch, his own little twist in the Boston structure and the Boston fundamentals, but overall, I think he probably has to be carrying on a lot of what Bruce Cassidy is doing, because I don't think you experience this much success by changing a lot of stuff, right? So I think it's interesting to see how Bruce Cassidy jumps to Vegas, kind of changes a little bit the way they play, the way they structure. Jim Montgomery jumps in Boston, and I feel like continues a little bit of the Cassidy, but both experience success. And I'm excited for both these teams. I like both these teams. I like watching them, and I like seeing, I'm excited to see what they have to do here on a playoff run, both of them.
Yeah, it's great seeing Cassidy continue to have success in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I'm a Monty guy, obviously, from his time with DU, so great to see him having success. Obviously, goaltending has played a role in both. You got Swayman and Ullmark on one side playing well, Logan Thompson doing very well, and then, you know, I don't know, Aiden Hill, Laurent Boissois for Vegas, so-so, but Logan Thompson kind of carrying the load there and getting contributions from all of the key members, the key players, which is important.
Jack Eichel's had a good year too. I want to look next at the just the Western Conference playoffs right now.
Before you switch to that, I'm just going to say I did Carolina, Vegas, Dallas, and Toronto.
So close, just one difference.
I tweaked it a little bit.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that. I think Boston doesn't lose two home games in a row when they haven't lost a home game in regulation all year.
Probably not. Except but Toronto is hot, and I was going to switch Dallas for Calgary. I just couldn't do it.
Fun games today. Fun games on the docket for sure. But looking at the depth of the Western standings, I think there's a clear line. And the line right now is drawn in between Vancouver and Colorado. And that line...
I have to say Calgary is already up 25 seconds into the game.
Oh, there we go.
Yikes.
Great start. Looking below that line, Vancouver, San Jose, Arizona, Anaheim, Chicago, those teams are basically done for. It's over with. Looking just above that line, you've got Colorado, Nashville, St. Louis, and then all the playoff teams. So Colorado, Nashville, St. Louis, Edmonton, Calgary in the wild card. Those teams still hanging on to hope. Those teams still playing for something. I feel like the Avalanche, as we shift the conversation here, getting ready for Kyle Fredrickson, are about this far away from being on the wrong side of that line, basically the contender pretender line.
Yeah, I have a stat about that we can talk about later, but you're right. There is some danger zone here, and it's concerning. It should be a legit concern. Like the teams that are up at the top, at least in the East, are running away with it. In the West, it's a little tighter. You know, there's still some room to maneuver here, but I mean, you're as the Avalanche, you're 15 points out of first place in the West, right? Which is Vegas right now. That's not great. You know, that's 7 wins in a overtime anything.
Yeah, that the people who are so confidently saying that they still believe the Avalanche are going to make the playoffs, I'm curious what they actually are thinking, because it's a tough road. I mean, it's not going to be easy, and the Avalanche have to have a pretty phenomenal record just to even squeak into a wild card spot, in my opinion, for the rest of the season, of course.
Well, and let's look at, like, obviously goal differential plays a role in how these things go, right? On the east side, Detroit is fourth out from a wild card spot. You know, they're minus 10 in goal differential. On the West, you've got St. Louis ahead of the Avs at minus 18, Nashville at minus 6. Then you have the Avs at 0. Los Angeles is second in the Pacific. They've also got 0. There's an opportunity here for, if the goals start coming, you know, to scoop some wins up. Somebody tweeted me last week and said, is it time to panic yet? Or when is it time to panic? Because people have been panicking with every loss all season long. I said March. March is the time to panic, right? You want to hover around, and the Avalanche are doing a relatively good job at that. They're still over 500, but the more the losses pile up, the more the panic will start to come in. But I think, you know, once there is no clear path to the postseason, that's panic time.
I hear you. I guess we'll get Kyle Fredrickson's thoughts on it next and kind of see what he thinks are great solutions to these problems, right? Because, again, everybody has their own theories. Everybody has their own ideas right now. Really, Jared Bednar is the only one that matters whose theories and ideas are out there. But we got to hear everybody's, right? We got to hear everybody's. See if it introduces new thoughts to our own brains.
And as we head out into the break, we got to say happy birthday to fan of the show, Andy.
Andy, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Andy.
Good friend of the show. The only guy to ever cuss on air on this show.
Yeah, the only guy, Danny.
We'll be right back. Thanks for hanging out with us here on The Hockey Show. Kyle Fredrickson up next. JJ Jerez, Ryan Bolding, Coach Bailey behind the glass. This is Mile High Sports.
Great, good stuff. I think people are getting really cranked.
Welcome back. This is the Hockey Show, Colorado's biggest and best live hockey radio show right here on Mile High Sports. JJ Jerez, Ryan Bolding. We are heading to the phones. Power play 1. We got a man advantage. We're hopping on with Kyle Fredrickson, who I believe is ready. Kyle, you there? Thanks for hopping on with us on the hockey show. Let's get into it. Is he there? Technical difficulties? Oh. I love it. Pulling the curtain back and just showing the frustrations of technology these days, eh?
I like the Skype sounds. It's obviously not the phone. It's Skype. I could go off on a rant here for a second about TweetDeck.
I was having a hard time using it at the last Avalanche game. I had to go to just regular old Twitter.com, and boy, did that suck.
It's awful. I just want to see, I'm curious to see what happens during the game tonight, because I just want to see the most recent tweets from the people I follow. I don't need to keep seeing tweets from yesterday at the top of my timeline.
I haven't updated my Twitter in about a year, so I'm still on the old school version, which I'm happy with.
On your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky then.
I think I'm gonna stick with that. But no, Twitter definitely seems to be headed in the wrong direction, right? And it's funny how so many media members, including people that we sit with in the press box, including national pundits, are so reliant on Twitter for their coverage and their content. It's like, what happens if it just all crumbles? What do you do?
I literally have no idea what to do or where to go from here.
We got
to
start branching out and doing other things. That's why you've seen me pick it up more on Instagram. Follow my Instagram. It's been buzzing with hockey content. I'm just trying to do more YouTube, even if I can. Just expand a little bit. Because if Twitter crumbles and we're all just left there tweeting at nobody, right? Any luck with Kyle Fredrickson, Danny?
Well, Skype says it's trying to reconnect, so I might just have to get him on the phone.
Sounds good. We'll get his phone number for you shortly. I don't know if I can provide micro updates on Instagram, though.
Well, that's the thing about Instagram, is it's not necessarily a good news platform, right? It's not a good... Because think of it this way. You put out a post, it trickles, and the more popular it gets, the longer it lasts in Instagram, and you're like, all right, this is already 2 week old post, and it's still gaining likes, it's still gaining follows, a lot of them sometimes from India, a lot of them sometimes from the Middle East, so yeah. It's like, I'm not exactly reaching my target audience with these just yet, all right, well, let's head to the phones. Enough of me ranting about Instagram. Kyle Fredrickson, thanks for hanging out with us today on The Hockey Show. Thanks for joining us. Let's get your thoughts on the Avalanche. And just how are you doing today? Are you excited as me for a 5 p.m. start tonight?
Oh, man, I am thrilled. I can't tell you how much I love those early starts. I mean, 1, 5, anything before 7, honestly, is great for me. I'm just glad you guys hung out long enough for me to call in here. Had some tech issues, but hopefully I'm all good now.
Oh, it wouldn't be the first problem we've had on this show. We're a mess all the time.
So. I mean, it is Microsoft, right? We were just complaining about Twitter. Elon Musk might as well be running Skype as well.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right, Kyle, well, let's get into it. Of course, this is your first full-time year on the beat. You've seen a lot of things this year that maybe, are opening your eyes. And of course, everybody right now knows injuries are a big problem with the Avalanche lineup right now. That one's easy. But everybody else has theories. Everybody's trying to figure out what the underlying issues are. And nobody really seems to have any idea, even including sometimes Jared Bednar. So I want to get your first thoughts. Aside from injuries, what is ailing the Colorado Avalanche right now?
Yeah, it's a million-dollar question. If I had the answer, they might hire me to be an assistant coach at this point. I think everyone is trying to figure this out. I think it's from listening to Mikko talk in the locker room yesterday, and I got to say, people talk about a leadership vacuum on this team without Gabe, and it's true they miss him. But man, Mikko's been so great with us, being that leader, being that captain, talking about what's ailing this team. And it almost just seems like they have this mental bug right now, right? It's, it was a little bit concerning to me, for me to hear Mikko, talk about it's just all mental. We got to figure this out. Well, the team just came from their holiday break. They just had some time off where you figure some of that would come. And now here we are, however many games since then with the Avs sliding, losing 7 of 8. And they're still kind of suffering from maybe this mental crutch. Because to your point, injuries are the easy answer for what's going wrong right now. But it seems like this team just isn't capable of putting a whole game together. And I guess you could go a layer deeper and ask, why are they having these mental issues? Why can't they finish what seemed to be like pretty great chances night in and night out, and they're kind of clawing back in every game. But I think right now they just have to kind of get back to winning one or two games in a row and see if that can fuel them to do better. Because until those bodies come back, I just don't see a whole lot changing for this team. So is it a big goal in this afternoon's game? Is it a huge moment, a turning point where the Avs show, you know, that championship character? Maybe that's what ultimately sparks them to kind of get out of this mental funk, because it really does seem like that's what it is.
Megan Angley had a quote last night from David Carl at DU where he said, when you have an unbelievable top line, sometimes the belief can be that the players expect them to do everything, right? And I feel like I've been saying this about the Avalanche for a while. There's no secondary or tertiary scoring support on a regular basis. There's no goals coming from, you know, fringe guys like Alex Newhook. He's in his second year. He's struggling. He looked to get a big goal against Chicago. Goal was overturned. Like, he needs that for his confidence. But Kyle, do you get the sense maybe that there is an issue going on here where guys are looking for the McKinnons and the Rantanens to keep scoring, you know, expecting them to maybe pull the team out of it instead of doing the work themselves?
I think that's very fair. And especially when you look at how this team won earlier in the year. You know, I remember going back to that. I think it was a shootout win in Dallas. It was a great game. But afterwards, I think, you know, the Avs had won five in a row. But I thought to myself, how is this team doing this with so many injuries? This doesn't make sense. Like, how are they pulling out all these wins? And the answer back then was Mikko Rantanen. I mean, he was rolling into December. You know, he basically was the only Avalanche player to score what seemed like for that entire month. So yeah, I think in being around this team, you know, all these guys are confident in the fact that, you know, they can be point producers and they can be that guy every night. But yeah, when you have a top line that is as dominant as this Avalanche team's is, it easily allows other guys to really feel like they're role players and to do their job. And to a certain degree, those guys need to have that mentality. They, you know, shouldn't be extending beyond themselves. But if you're not scoring goals and you're not contributing when those top guys are out, I mean, you know, so much for that vaunted depth that this Avalanche team had a year ago, a lot of that based on injuries, but those guys have got to step up. And, you know, we've sort of seen this AHL carousel just kind of slow down a little bit. Obviously, Sampo Ranta coming back in with Darren Helm going out, but none of those guys have produced. You know, Ben Myers, it seems like every night, oh, this is the night. You know, he's been setting up so many great chances. He's going to be a difference maker, and he's just kind of been quiet. So, yeah, you know, kind of pick your poison right now with this Avs team. There's so much going wrong.
Looking ahead at Nathan McKinnon, not looking ahead, just looking at Nathan McKinnon and the Nathan McKinnon we've known of past versus the Nathan McKinnon we're getting this year, right? And Nathan McKinnon typically wears a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and he's constantly the guy that wants to put the Avalanche above the hump when perhaps nobody else is thriving. With that, how have you noticed Nathan McKinnon's energy? I know you've been on a lot of road games this year, because I don't see him as upset as he would be in years past. I see him more kind of approaching it with more reason, maybe more logic, and just a little less emotion. What are you picking up from Nathan McKinnon, both in the time you've seen him at home and even, you know, the little private time that you get with him on the road?
Yeah. I think that's a fair observation of Nate. I think earlier in the season, when the Avs had that stretch of games where they weren't playing very well, you know, he was a very level-headed guy in the locker room saying, hey, we just got to get healthy. Like, you know we're a playoff team. We know what this team is. And I think a lot of that confidence stems from that, right? The guy wins a cup. It's not that he's relaxed. He's just more focused in understanding of exactly what he has to do to get back there. And in terms of his interactions with us, you know, there's been a couple times he's been a little icy. I remember in his first game back, I had just asked him, hey, what do you think about the slow starts of this team? You know, how do you guys kind of turn that around? And he essentially was said, this is my first game back. I don't know. And so for me, you know, that's fine. I love the honesty. You know, I think when a guy has a shorter answer, it can say more than if he goes on and on, if you feel like he's not being as authentic. But that's Nate, and you got to love that authenticity. So yeah, it's also hard as well, because, and I think, you know, you guys have seen this too, but it seems like a lot of times McKinnon is the first guy out of the locker room as soon as the media goes in there. He hasn't made himself overly available, during the stretch in the same way that we've seen Miko Rantanen and Cale Makar. But yeah, I will be very intrigued to kind of watch Nate through the next few games here and kind of watch his demeanor as well. You know, we saw Rantanen getting real feisty with the refs recently. Haven't seen that as much out of Nate. But in what ways can he inspire this team? And what's his method for doing it? You know, you guys were mentioning, you know, he can be a rah-rah guy who can get in players' faces and can get in reporters' faces when you don't ask him a good question. But at this point, we haven't seen that. And, you know, behind closed doors, I'm also wondering, without Landeskog in the room, you know, what kind of leader is he being with the guys? It seems like they really do respond to that intensity that he brings. Maybe it's time to ratchet it up. I'm not sure, but it sure would be cool to be a fly on the wall to see how they're figuring this out.
Well, I think, too, you know, Landeskog brings a lot of positivity. I don't think he's afraid to stand up and put somebody in their place, but he does, you know, exude just positivity and fun. You see him out there at morning skates, you know, when he's healthy, and he's loud, he's boisterous, he's talkative, he's hitting cheering the boards. People's on, yep. He's hitting the boards, he's calling things out. He just brings a bit of glee to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's not there. You know, it's obviously very easy to go down the rabbit hole of feeling down on yourself in a stretch like this. And then on the other hand, he also brought a lot of goals from the front of the net. You know, right. He's probably the best shot tipper on the team by far. And that's something they're missing, these kind of net front dirty goals. They're missing these nice tip in goals. You know, the longer this goes on, they're a lot of their goals are just shooters goals. You know, shots from the perimeter, shots from outside. So it's like this double-edged blade that they're missing.
Right, exactly. And to point back to, you know, just sort of the joy that Landeskog brought, you know, I saw a tweet recently, I think from Mark Lazarus with The Athletic. In the Avs locker room, they had a sign up in their visiting locker room that they put up that I think just said, "This is fun," right? I think
reminder.
Right, exactly. And I think when you get into a losing streak, sometimes you do need that message that, hey, like, yeah, this sucks that we're losing, but we're playing game for a living and we love this. And like this, there's no place else that we'd rather be. And yeah, I think you play a lot more free when you have that attitude. And if, you know, without Landeskog, I don't know who else can manufacture that, right? I think that's a rare trait, especially when your team is losing, to bring that positive attitude and to be authentic about it. And that's why you have a captain, right? To bring everyone's spirits up. And yeah, in terms of that double-edged sword you talk about with those dirty goals, you know, I asked Miko recently, like, how does that happen, right? Like, for you guys, it seems like a simple task, get in front of the net and tip a shot in when offense is coming. But it hasn't happened a lot. And Miko just said, yeah, you know, sometimes guys just end up watching the puck or they're just not, you know, leaning into their instincts of where they need to be on the ice. And I think right now everyone's probably pressing, right? And the guys spoke about that in the locker room yesterday. You know, when you know that you haven't won in a while and when you know that shots aren't going in, you almost try too hard. You're overcorrecting to do that. And, you know, having Gaber out, a guy that can kind of reset expectations and kind of be that barometer for what the team needs, that's a big deal. And, you know, like Bednar said, right now Gabe's not even in the country. So whether that's a good or a bad thing, I don't know. I'm not on his medical staff, but I do know that it's not great for the Avalanche.
You heard it from Jared Bednar. Things are so bad, Gabe has left the country.
He's fleed.
He's gone.
He's in Mexico.
Kyle, changing gears, I just wanted to get into a bit of what this season's been like for you. You obviously were, you know, doing general sports for the Denver Post, so you were in and out of the Avalanche situation last year and for years before that. So you kind of dipped a toe in, but what's this season been like for you now that you are like a beat owner?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of games. I'll say that. I'm still getting used to the schedule and 82 games and being there every day. But I do feel lucky because, to your point, you know, I've been in this market for a while. I got hired at the Post in 2017 and covered college sports, the Broncos for a couple seasons, and kind of shifted into a floating role where I got to help out a little bit of everywhere. And that was nice. But that really is what allowed me to get to know this team, right? The past couple of years working with Mike Chambers, learning a lot just about how to cover hockey and what this team is like and what the NHL is like. And I got to say, you know, and I've told this to a lot of people already, you know, one reason why I like this job is I really do believe it's the best room to deal with in sports media in this market. And by room, I just mean everyone that you talk to, whether that's going to be the players, the coaches, other media members. there's just kind of a culture of covering this team that, you know, it's competitive. Everyone wants to do the best work they can, but it's just a bunch of good people. And even the players, you know, minus maybe Nathan MacKinnon at times when he's on one, there's just not a lot of diva personalities. Right. And I appreciate that. You know, I came from initially covering college sports and the Big 12, and, you know, Mike Gundy thinks that he's the king of Stillwater, Oklahoma, and some of the politics that go with that is not a lot of fun. But, you know, when you're dealing with Jared Bednar, who's just above anything else, you know, he's honest with us, it seems. It's just really refreshing because, you know, even when if it's a short answer or kind of a non-answer, you know, he's going to tell you what he thinks, and it's going to be authentic. And that's been great. And, you know, from seeing this team be in the playoffs and reach the height of the Stanley Cup, I was in a lot of those, you know, home games, home playoff games, to this, you know, it's been intriguing, right? Because it just shows you that, you know, not all good things last forever. And this is a team that, you know, is going to have to figure out how to get itself back on top of the mountain like every champion does. So really intrigued how the second half is going to play out. But, you know, just thankful to be, you know, dealing with good people and being on the road a lot, because it really is an all-consuming job, as you guys are aware, with just how much this team plays and how much you get to be around them, because there is quite a bit of access.
I've got kind of a double question here. I'm looking to see if you can provide listeners some tips that you've picked up during your time in the industry. And I'm going to kind of persuade the question toward questioning and getting quotes from players or coaches. And the reason I say that is this morning I had to relay Darren Helm's injury to my editors at the NHL. And they said, can you give us the quotes on Darren Helm? And I said, they're terrible. And I provided them this exact layout. I said, question, and Helm, answer, he'll miss some time. Question, lower body or upper body? Answer, lower. Question, is Helm's injury related at all to what he was dealing with? Answer, yes. And I emailed them back and said, I think some people need to learn to ask open-ended questions. So I kind of want to pose that to you. Like, what are your techniques? What are your tactics for, you know, being successful at your job?
I'm going to take notes.
Interesting. Gosh, that's a deep one. All right. So I do have a theory on this, and this is a strategy that's not just my own. And if you listen to a lot of reporters, you'll see this. But so it's kind of a three-part thing. I'll kind of start with just telling them, like, hey, I'm curious about something. Like, you might hear me talk to Jared Bednar, like, hey, I'm curious about this. And then I lean into a statement, a fact, right? Hey, Darren Helm, you know, he left and didn't come back into the game. Right. So there I state my fact. Right. I know what I'm talking about. And then after that, the third part is trying to leave it a little open ended. Like, so, you know, is this going to be a long term injury? Is this something that, you know, you guys are worried about? You know, what can you tell me about how he's feeling? And in that case, he at least has to, you know, give you a full sentence, you know, some nouns, some prepositions, a verb or two, because yeah, you basically have to paraphrase him when he talks like that. But that's my best advice. But I will say, even with Jared, you might ask him just the perfectly worded question and he might just kind of smirk and give you a four-word answer. I have noticed that, you know, especially if maybe even kind of, you know, he's kind of ragging you because he knows how much thought you put into your question sometimes. But that, you know, that's going to a whole nother level. But that's be my advice. You know, I tell your editor, hey, just write a sentence and in the middle of the sentence break out the quotations that Bednar said that, and then, you know, attribute it at the end. But that's, I guess those are two ways you could go about it.
No, that's great. I definitely need work. I always get, you know, I'm like 50-50 hit or miss on a good question versus bad question. So here's my last question to you, Kyle. We'll let you go after this one. Looking ahead at tonight, of course, the Ottawa Senators are only 2 points. That's one win behind being equal in points with the Colorado Avalanche. So as much as we like to think this is a winnable game, a great opportunity, the Avalanche just lost to the league's worst team. Who of the Avalanche players has to be a game breaker tonight, in your opinion? Who has to elevate their game and lead this team to victory?
Oh, that's a good question. So sort of X factor tonight.
Yeah.
Let me think on that. I mean, you got your normal candidates. I'm going to shy away from your Mikos and your Kales, because you got to just expect, you know, them to be solid every night. I'm going to say JT Compher, right? I'm not going to, you know, Compher's really stepped up his game and being the guy taking so many faceoffs for this team. And he's had stretches where he scores points, but it seems like he's always real streaky, right? A couple games here or there, have a multi-point game, but he feels like a guy to me where if he elevates his game and he's producing points and he gets a, you know, a goal or two this afternoon, everyone else is going to get a lift from that. And it's got to start with him to some degree, because of all the guys they're leaning on with people being in and out of this lineup, you know, seeing Compher elevated to that top six role, you know, he's, for the most part, he's been impressive, but he's really got to be great, I think, today to beat a pretty quality Senators team when you consider where the Avs are coming from.
I think that's a strong answer. When JT Compher shows up, kind of puts them over the edge. Otherwise, it's just the normal guys carrying all the weight. So I like it, Kyle. We'll see you tonight. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And don't forget your headphones.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a little noisy tonight, a little high-pitched. That's a good reminder.
A little high-pitched.
I'm
still riding that silent disco concept. We're going to make it happen.
I like it. That'll do it for this segment. Kyle ran a little long, but of course, thanks so much to Kyle of the Denver Gazette for joining us and sharing some insights and just getting a different opinion in here than just mine and yours stale
just
voices.
Just our flapping heads, Terrence and Phillip over here.
We'll be right back to finish out the show. This is the Hockey Show right here on My High Sports. JJ Jerez, Ryan Boulding, Danny Bailey behind the glass. We'll be right back.
Go, Colorado!
I like this one. Big Offspring fan as a kid.
Have I ever told you that I bought this album in third grade?
Smash?
Yeah.
I had it too.
I bought it in third grade. My father said, let me see the lyrics. He looked them through. And he's like, okay, as long as you don't say anything in the song, Bad Habit.
That's exactly what I was keep thinking. It.
And the converse of that, I tell this story a lot, I feel like, is my friend Daniel, he got it on tape, on cassette tape. And his dad heard Bad Habit coming through the speakers. He ripped the tape out of the tape player and broke it over his knee.
Wow.
I don't even think I've ever seen a cassette tape break in real life.
I mean, you throw it out of the window and run it over a car pretty
easily. It's like a dude breaking a bat. To me, I'm like, I feel like the bat would break my femur.
Hey, man, you know I'm really okay.
I went and saw the 20th anniversary concert of that show a few years back. That's how old I am.
That is pretty old. Let's get into some hockey. I know we start with Gilbert Gottfried in this segment and rooting on the Colorado Avalanche a little bit here, but I wanted to start this conversation with the Seattle Kraken because I think they deserve our attention. Of course, we've had our eye on them all season long. They were making some noise, but winning some games. They came here into Colorado and won on the road, which is
a very good game from them.
When I was first put on alert, okay, maybe these guys are someone to keep an eye on. But then just this week on Thursday night, they go into Boston and shut out the Boston Bruins. Not only that, as I mentioned in the first segment, the first team in the NHL this year to go into Boston and win in regulation.
Boston has 5 losses in regulation. One of those 5, Seattle Kraken.
The rest were on the road.
Yeah.
Of course, the Avalanche have to play the Seattle Kraken exactly 7 days from now. They will be in Seattle, and that will be the second night of a back-to-back. So the second time the Colorado Avalanche see the Seattle Kraken, it's going to be another tough contest as well. But Seattle just playing good hockey. Haven't lost a game in 2023, kind of the opposite of what the Avalanche are doing. And just funny to kind of compare and contrast these two teams now, right? We were doing the two from earlier. But
they're on a 7-game road trip. They're 6-0 on this road trip, and they're at Chicago.
At Chicago tonight, so it should be another easy one. Hey,
obviously the streak's going to end, right? Because Chicago is on a 3-game win streak now.
Somebody's streak is ending tonight, but yeah, all action takers definitely take a look at that Seattle game.
Take note, Martin Jones has multiple, I believe, consecutive shutouts during this streak.
And I think he's been a big difference for me, right? I think he has been the better goalie, simply put. Philip Grubauer, we know a lot about Philip Grubauer. And even in his time here in Colorado, I know he backed some good teams. He even had a President's Trophy under his belt, right? But I was never fully sold on Philip Grubauer. I don't think the Avalanche were either, or else we wouldn't have never seen Darcy Kemper in an Avalanche uniform, right? So I think Martin Jones finally taking over that goaltending role, really earning the trust of his teammates, and the team is just fun. They're fast, they're talented, they're skilled. They remind me of the Avalanche of old. Maybe not last year, but maybe the Avalanche of 2-3 years ago that just loved to sling the puck, loved to score goals. defense wasn't exactly a priority. Just scoring goals, scoring goals, scoring goals, having our goaltender back us up. I love the Seattle Kraken right now.
I've been a Martin Jones fan for a long time, and so it's been a bummer to me to see him struggle and have a hard time.
Why is that?
Which part of it?
Why are you a Martin Jones fan?
I just liked him. You know, I can't even remember where he started.
LA,
it's been so long ago.
And or San Jose.
I just liked what he was capable of. I think he really struggled in San Jose. I think that's where he struggled. And he was just a goaltender where I was like, I really feel like he's got the pieces, and then could never really put it together, you know, whereas Grubauer here, I think Grubauer was exceptional, but what we've seen from the Avalanche is the goalie is what the team makes the goalie. And we've seen them make Grubauer look good. We've seen them make Darcy Kuemper look good. We've seen them make Georgiev look good and not good all at once this season. I'm very convinced that Philip Grubauer just fell apart in the postseason. Once he was figured out, he was figured out, and he kind of lost his confidence. But I should apologize to Dave Hextall, because I didn't really think he was much of a coach last season. And clearly he's done some good things this year. So he deserves some credit for that. Maybe it was more the roster than I gave Seattle credit for last year.
The front office does as well too, right? I mean, last year you see what Seattle was doing and you're like, okay, we understand this is a long-term play. They're not going to be relevant anytime soon. They make some moves this offseason. You're like, okay, cool, whatever. That helps them, but that's not going to put them into a contender position. But lo and behold, here they go. Add Andrei Burakovsky, add a couple other more guys, and that's all you're missing. Not to mention Matty Beniers, second on their team with 16 goals right now. What the Avalanche would do for a young gunslinger like Matty Beniers right now.
Well, that's what we're talking about. The young guys are hot. Martin Jones is hot. You got Vince Dunn playing defense. He's hot right now. Like, I was looking at fantasy pickups today, and the guys with the most success in the last week are all Kraken players. You know, I was like, how many Kraken can I put on my team right now? It's a big risk, but, you know, there's a reward there too. So it's definitely a team to watch, and you like to see that out of an expansion team.
During their current 7-game win streak, they've scored 4 goals, 5 goals, 5 goals, 8 goals, 4 goals, 4 goals, 3 goals.
So take the over.
They love to bury the puck.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Avalanche are struggling with right now. They have a hard time getting over 2 goals. And of course, they're not winning because of it. I won't get into more, but Kraken are fun to watch and somebody to keep an eye on, along with a handful of other teams out there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's hit the break and come back and rapid fire through some of this stuff. I got things and guys to talk about.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the Seattle Kraken portion of the show. We'll be back to close out the show. Danny, did I miss the music? Did I blow it? I told them during the break, just play the music and I will hear it. I promise you. Apparently I missed it. What an idiot. But we'll be back. This is the Hockey Show. JJ Durez, Ryan Boulding, Danny Bailey. We'll be back. We'll be back. About a thing.
Play hockey and I fornicate because it's the two most fun things in cold weather.
Welcome back in to the Hockey Show on Mile High Sports Radio. Ryan Boulding here with JJ Jerez, Danny Bailey behind the glass. Things I thought I'd never hear in my life. Are you thirsty for low mortgage rates? In the last commercial. But also, speaking of steel man boner pills, Connor McDavid has 80 points in 44 games. Just thoughts on that guy.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising whatsoever, right? I mean, he's obviously the best player in the league. The thoughts I do have are on his socks.
Thoughts on socks.
My guy has to get some new socks. That's disgusting. Yeah. You're one of the best players in the league. Set a good example. Be clean, be crisp. Of course, you know, you can't hate on him for preferences, and it's helping him do what he does. So I guess I can't really throw stones, but
he's on a 150 point pace.
No, the dude's fantastic. There's never been any secret about that, but obviously it's about what his team does, right? And he's still yet to get his team over any humps. Last year, of course, the closest that they've ever been, and they currently are holding tightly onto that last wild card spot. So it's about what you do in the playoffs, not so much how fancy you can be in the regular season, right?
Jack Campbell, everybody. Yeah, I think to stay on Connor McDavid, I'm curious your thoughts on this too. He doesn't like the shootout. He would rather have 10 minutes of 3-on-3 overtime instead of 5.
I think that's an interesting take because you got to figure out a way to end the game somehow. So even
yeah,
if
that's
you
my
do,
thought too.
Even if you do the 10 minutes and there's still no goals, which in today's overtime, right, which they love to regroup, they love to pull the puck out back into the neutral zone and take their sweet time, not give up possession. I mean, we've seen 3-minute stints where one team holds possession of the puck. That I don't think that's the way they drew up the 3-on-3 overtime.
It's been, everybody's seen it. We've talked about it. The fun has been coached out of 3-on-3 overtime. So if you want 10 minutes of that monstrosity, fine. But I want the old overtime then where they're trading chances back and forth. High danger, just, you know, breakneck back and forth, shot on goal hockey. That's what I want. Because otherwise, we see just, you know, the strategy is try to keep your line out or cycle as many players on your line through possession while they're stuck with one line out mm-hmm. until they're just so exhausted they collapse.
I've always been in favor of the 3 point for a win, 2 point yes. for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime
I think that
loss.
Changes things a lot. John Tortorella has banned iPads from the Flyers bench. And when asked about it, he said, I don't give a bleep what you think about it.
Not surprising. The most John Tortorella thing you could probably hear, right? I mean, if you hear, hey, guess which coach banned iPads from their bench? Your number one guess is going to be John Tortorella. I don't know his thought process behind it because I think there's a benefit to having that right there and being able to see what you did wrong, being able to see what you did right. But perhaps his players are a little bit too enthralled with the iPad.
I respect what he's doing. He's saying that the team isn't focused enough on watching what's happening in their next shift. They're too busy looking at what went wrong on the last shift. And he's really, I mean, he takes heat for it because of the way he presents his ideas. But I think he's building in the right direction, which is I want them to see what's going on, but I want them to build on positivity. I don't want them to look back and be like, oh, I missed by this much, or oh, if I'd only done that. Like, there is a point where I think learning is beneficial, and the iPads give players the ability to learn in the moment. But as we've seen, and I'm not saying this is the case with Philly, but we've seen with the Avs from Jared Bednar that when you have younger, inexperienced players, they're not as capable of processing information and making adjustments in real time as vets are, right? So maybe there is something to this concept. And just to add on that, Paul Maurice is a coach of Florida who believes in also showcasing and focusing on positive impacts, positive plays, the positive perspective of what's going right. He said after the Avs scored 2 quick goals against Florida the other night, he talked to them about doing it. Even though the Avs scored a 3rd goal, he really liked the response, and they obviously came back and won there. So
I know we're up against the clock here, but I have a point that I wanted to make all week long, right? The Avalanche had their dad's trip this week, and on that dad's trip, I think it was...
It's more like a dad sleepover.
Yeah, it was Mark Rycroft who said that the dads were a part of the morning meeting in preparation for the game against Chicago, and the dads all walked out of there confused, saying, wow, if I had to be the one that had to know all this stuff, I would not be able to keep up. I think maybe sometimes there is an element of overthinking and over-strategizing and just not going out there.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. I have an article that went up on Mile High Sports today. We'll call it an opinion piece. It's mostly a conversation with me and Andrew Cogliano. I've got some supporting quotes in there, but it's Andrew Cogliano talking about how this is the most prepared and well-coached team he's played on, and how 100% of any issues with preparation or play is on the players and not the coaching staff. So there is a point where this team has been prepared as best they can be from above, and it's on them to finish. And we get to that point where I believe it's statistically impossible for the Avalanche or the Panthers to make a playoff spot this evening, which means this is the first time in the modern era, which is since 1943-44, in which the both reigning Stanley Cup champions and the number one seed from the regular season, the President's Trophy winning team, which would be the Panthers, do not hold a playoff position at the halfway point of the season. Tonight is game 41 for the Avalanche. Neither team is in the playoffs right now. It's crazy.
I think it's especially crazy going on in Florida, right? You saw a big-time trade over the offseason that was absolutely supposed to make them better. I know they gave up a bit much by giving up Uyghur and Huberdeau, but getting Matt Tkachuk, and especially what he's done in the last year or two, especially what he's done in a Florida Panthers sweater, there's no reason for them to be this bad.
Yeah.
Their goaltending's killing them, and I'd like to see Florida resurrect things.
When we talked about the Bruins earlier, but quickly, they're on pace to set the NHL record for wins, points, and points percentage. The record for wins is 62. Tampa has tied it. The Colorado Avalanche looked to be on pace to beat that, and then just had that, you know, we're resting players, guys are hurt, fall apart there at the end of the season right before the playoffs, which obviously didn't matter because they won the Stanley Cup. But that is just how well the Boston Bruins are playing.
Every year there's one team who emerges as, okay, the absolute favorite. Last year it was the Colorado Avalanche. This year's the Boston Bruins. It's always fun to track and see how they end up actually performing come playoff time, right? We've seen the Tampa Bay Lightning of old really drop the ball. So it's Boston's to lose.
You want to talk about team leadership. The Pittsburgh Penguins had been on the road since New Year's Eve, since before the outdoor game. They're in Arizona. They were supposed to fly home. Chris Letang was not with the team at the time because of the death of his father. Penguins leadership approached their coach and said, we want to fly to Montreal as a team and attend Chris Letang's father's funeral. I think that's pretty awesome that the entire team and coaching staff made the decision, that ownership and everybody was on board with flying to Montreal, attending this as a team. There was a couple of players from the Canadiens there as well. Just kudos to them for being, you know, a real team unit there.
There's a lot of tough things that go about in hockey culture, and a lot of them you can throw stones at. But one of them that you can't is the camaraderie. The brotherhood that teammates build within each other is something special that I'm not sure exists to that level in other sports. You know, there's, again, we're going to a game tonight where we're seeing privileged kids get privileged a little bit more, and nothing screams hockey more than that. But when you hear stories like that, it warms your heart that, okay, there are some really good aspects to the hockey culture. And again, just that tightness, that bond that teammates build is second to none.
Good people there. There's a fan movement to not vote Mikko Rantanen into the All-Star game in order to provide him with some rest. I think Cale Makar shot holes in that by saying, I've already voted for him. He's trying to stack the deck and get his teammate in there. And I asked Cale Makar, even though you're playing, you got to do these events and everything, is the All-Star game still a period of rest for you? And he said, absolutely it is.
Yeah, they can go, they chill, they have a good time. Again, build some camaraderie with other teams around the league. But that'll do it. That was a fun switch up for the rapid fire mixed bag skate.
Pew pew. People are sick of hearing from me. They want to hear from you.
I have to actually listen to you, which is harder for me. Yeah. Usually I just get to vomit out some words and then I tune
taking
out.
Taking phone calls and stuff.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week to break down the week that was, or the week that will be. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, the Avalanche will be in Seattle. But tonight we got Ottawa. Let's focus one game at a time. 5 o'clock start, Ball Arena, Avalanche, Ottawa Senators will be there. Check us out on Twitter. We'll be giving you updates and giving you content. So thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Today.
Wow. We were so close to a great dismount.
We'll be back next week, guys. See you later.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning.